I think that's probably one of the most important things is as an entrepreneur, you have to be able to embrace you and what it is that you want, right? Because we can't run a business if we don't have a passion for it. And I think every entrepreneur has a passion for what they do. You know, that whole, it's not personal, it's just business. That's just total BS.
There you go.
It's absolutely personal. It's our livelihood. It's what we love to do. We pour our hearts into it and hours, right? So I just think that it's so important that we find who we are and what we love to do and the passion to do that, because that's going to really add to the success of the business.
Oh, it's so valuable for both men and women, right? Mm-hmm. Is be uniquely you.
Absolutely.
Be yourself in the marketplace and then find your people, find the people that you were created to serve and solving the problem you were created to solve.
Welcome to the Legacy Roadmap Podcast, your ultimate guide for creating a lasting legacy as an entrepreneur. Whether you're an ambitious entrepreneur or a seasoned business owner, our podcast offers insightful conversations with successful entrepreneurs and experts who have navigated the path of legacy creation. We explore topics that matter to you: personal responsibility, financial growth, leadership, and succession planning. Our goal? To equip you with practical insights and strategies that help you transition from simply running your business to building a legacy. Join us each week as we delve into purposeful discussions aimed at positively impacting future generations. Your journey towards leaving a lasting legacy starts right here, right now. Let's dive in.
Does your business serve homeowners? If so, you need to know about HOA.com, the number one referral network for professionals who serve homeowners. And we're looking for quality contractors and home service pros that we can recommend and refer to homeowners in your area. Not only will you get promoted on the HOA.com website, you'll get business from other certified pros and premier pros in your market. These people serve homeowners every day, so we help you build referral partnerships that keep referrals coming to your business for years to come. Go to HOA.com/pro now and get started.
Are you an entrepreneur or business owner? If so, you need to know about the Achieve Systems Business Building Membership. We are one of the best referral-based communities that wants to refer you. We help generate you thousands of leads per year. We also provide you an incredible mentorship program that has won many awards. We don't stop there. We have 60 plus opportunities to take your business to the next level, like authoring and publishing books and many, many more. Go to AchieveSystemsPro.com and get started today.
Do you want to make more money in your business? Most business owners focus on building revenue. That's not enough. Building profits is what feeds your family, and almost no business owner understands how to build profit without building revenue. I can show you with near perfect accuracy the exact business growth strategies that will generate the most revenue for your business in the shortest amount of time, focused on building profit. Learn more at bizlife.coach. Today's guest is a change maker. Dr. Julie Ducharme has dedicated her career to empower and support people in their endeavors and dreams. People from all over, including the corporate sector and those returning to the workforce, have taken the advice and guidance of Dr. Julie and learned how to use their strengths to maximize their work-life success. Her unique speaking style ignites the passion inside us and makes the tiny spark into a blaze of empowerment. Robert and Dr. Julie Ducharme have a wonderful conversation about empowering women to take control of their lives through their business. She's created multiple companies and organized She Talks, a platform for women to share their stories and encourage each other. Julie is a force, and you don't want to miss this encouraging conversation. Well, Julie, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm excited to have this conversation and just share the impact you're making in the world.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So we talk a lot about legacy on the show, focused on entrepreneurs and leaning into that space. Tell me a little bit about the impact you're making and what's your motivation, what's your drive?
Yeah, well, I mean, legacy has actually been one of my themes for several years now. When I had my children, I really had a change in how I view things and how I want to leave things for my children. And actually 10 years ago, my mother passed away and the legacy that she left was really impactful on me. When I saw 300 plus people pour into her funeral, and she was a stay-at-home mom who knit hats for the homeless and would go around and drop off gifts. And she would scholarship young kids to go to all sorts of different camps. And she would help girls get their prom dresses so they could go to prom. And I didn't really realize how impactful her legacy was because I was spoiled being her daughter until she was gone. And then I saw that, and that really changed my view on my businesses and what I do. I think my son was maybe one at the time and my daughter was three. And I really kind of went, so who would show up to my funeral and what would I leave my children? And so I really shifted to a servant leadership mindset after that. And how could I serve people, still do the passion that I love and make an impact? And of course, do business as well and provide for my family. So that had really been my theme the last 10 years of growing that. And that's how I think I've ended up with five businesses as well. It's because I'm following my passions and my legacies. And I started out with some very small businesses because people would say, how do you get five businesses? And I said, you know, it just kind of all evolved at once. And I went with it and I just said yes to everything. So
there's some great stuff in there. So first, what a great question to ask. Who would show up at my funeral? That's a great personal development question. It's a great legacy question. And very few people really reflect on not just who would show up at my funeral, but what would they be saying, right? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things that I did early on, just before I jumped into the entrepreneurial space, was really asking that question, not just who would show up at my funeral, but what would they say? So asking, what would my friends be saying at my funeral? What would my children be saying at my funeral? Yeah. And that's an eye opener. And so yeah. I want to commend your mom, because what an incredible legacy and impact and example. It's easy for us to think of a stay-at-home mom, you know, she's just at home cooking, cleaning, mm-hmm. and taking care of the kids. But obviously she was creating community and having influence and impact in the community. And what an eye-opener to see that played out, the impact that she had made in so many people's lives. So that's exciting. But you mentioned your kids and starting these businesses and how it, in some ways, it kind of just happened. Mm-hmm. But the big magic thing you said was say yes to everything. Let's dig into that and how powerful that can be.
It is powerful. And I think that goes back a little bit, if I can give a little backstory.
Absolutely.
I am a very resilient person. I think that's just how God made me. And when I was in high school, I decided that I wanted to go and I wanted to play sports in college. And my parents had said, listen, we love you, but we don't have $50,000 a year to give you. So you either got to, you know, stay here or get a scholarship. So I made that like my full-time job. My dad actually built for me, he poured cement and made a basketball court for me. And he set up a grass volleyball court because those are two sports I was playing. He was a sports person himself. He played football in college. And I was just determined to get myself to college. And so I did end up getting myself a full ride scholarship to go play dual sports in college, which a lot of people don't allow, you know, people to do anymore, play both sports, but I did. And in that process, I had a professor tell me that I was not smart enough to be in college and I should drop out. And it was very impactful to me. And thank goodness I'm stubborn. And this also kind of rings back to my mother. I called my mother crying and she's like, he's an idiot. Go get a tutor. Right. Like, so I always joke about, you know, the information from moms right at that moment. Like, that's what I need to hear. Right. He's an idiot. Go get a tutor. Right. The world's not over. And so I graduated from all that. And, you know, I was always the underdog. And so I was always that person kind of fighting to make it to the top, right? I had to have a lot of grit and courage and you know, I was just always fighting that, but I ended up having a great college career, rerun sales. I got the opportunity to play overseas professionally for volleyball. It's just, you know, blessings after, I call them blessings because they really were. And in all of that, that kind of built inside of me this passion and this grit and this courage and the let's just try it, because the worst thing that happens is I fail, but I've already done that, right? I lost a national title my senior year of college, and that was devastating, but I recovered from it, right? So it can't be worse than that, right? And so
you've already survived your worst days.
Right. So, you know, and then of course, once you have children as a mother and you go through the birthing process, you go, it could never be as bad as that. So let's go for it. Right. I mean, it sounds a bit morbid, but I just look at these things and I go, okay, if I made it through that, the worst thing that happens is I fall on my face. Okay. And so that's why I started saying yes to everything, because I used to be a really calculated risk taker. And this definitely comes from my culture. I grew up in a very strict Dutch family, and I love them for that. But there was not a lot of risk that came out of that. They were very, you know, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Take risk. And I noticed I was missing out on things because I wasn't willing to take the risk. And so I kind of had this epiphany one day, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to say yes. I'm going to say yes to it all. And some things I know I'm going to fall flat on my face, but then some things could be amazing. And that's kind of how I went for it. So I opened up, you know, my first company when I was 23 years old, off of kind of a bit of a whim. I was working for another company who was doing the same thing and they were terrible at it. And my dad was like, well, why don't you open your own company? I was like, oh, okay, well, why not? You know, so I went and got my license and, you know, opened it on a whim. I suddenly had business coming out of my ears. It was crazy. I had to hire employees. I had an MBA, by the way, didn't teach me a thing about how to run a business.
Right.
So and this was my events company. So overnight I had like 20 events every weekend, and I had a huge, I mean, this massive company overnight grew, and I was 23 years old going like, I don't know what I'm doing, but we'll figure it out. And so that's kind of how that started, is I just started going like, yes. Yes. And changed for me my ability, which is like with risk and stuff. So that's how these companies started. So I had an events company, and then before you know it, I had a consulting company. And then I started a sports company on a whim because I used to play pro ball, and now I'm inventing a glove, you know? And so I just started saying yes to those things. And the cultural part of me that's like ingrained in there is screaming, what are you doing? That's not safe. But the entrepreneurship side of Julie that has all the grit and the courage and fought through all these like sports things and stuff is going, you just need to do it. Worst thing that happens is you fail, Julie, and you'll get over that. So that's kind of how this whole yes thing happened. It was definitely a process for me, you know, because even though I was doing all these businesses, I was, I guess I would say, just fearful. You know, I had that fear because I'd had a lot of success in sports. I mean, we went undefeated for like 4 years. I mean, I hadn't really lost a lot in my life. So I had a fear of failure, definitely, when I was going into this. But over the years, I've just been like, and if if you come to me with a business plan, and obviously I'll evaluate and look at it, but if it looks good, I'm like, well, why not? Let's try it. Let's see if it flies. Love that. So that's kind of how I became a yes person. I wasn't always one, but that's where I am now. So
there's a couple of big pieces in there. You mentioned, first of all, a professor that doesn't understand the power of his position, which mm-hmm. is so aggravating to me. And there's influencers in our lives, and the majority of people that hear that influencer, and then they accept that as truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was impactful to me.
I'm so glad that you had the wisdom to call your mom, and your mom had the wisdom to say, he's an idiot, get a tutor. Like, it's simple truth, right? Your mom spoke truth into your life and was able to turn off that, mm-hmm. that lie that professor was sharing with you. But so many people get a person of influence that says something like that to them, that permanently creates a limit, right? It creates a cap. It puts a lid on their life that's not based in truth. And it's very hard for people to undo those lids and remove them and even identify them. So very proud of your mother for just plain truth wisdom.
Yeah. Well, and she, you know, my parents, they've never babied me, right? Like, suck it up, get over it. When I went to play college ball, my dad sat me down and he said, listen, you're a freshman. You're probably going to sit the bench. So you're going to have to work harder than anyone else. And you're going to have to suck it up. And you're going to have to be a team player. And you have to cheer your teammates on. And that was a moment of truth of like, okay, dad, thanks for telling me that, you know, having, and he just gave me a reality check on that, that I was like, and that professor, he did affect me. And I always think this is weird, right? So our family tells us they love us, right? And we're like, okay, great. You love me. Some stranger who knows nothing about you gives you, you know, says something like that and you hold on to it, right? And you give it power. And I did give power to that comment for a long time in my life. That's why I have an 8-page resume, because I was like, well, I'm gonna show you I'm smart enough, right? And so, I mean, my resume is ridiculous because I just thought, if I just win one more award, if I just get one more publication, I was chasing the wrong thing. Right. I was chasing the wrong success in my life. And that was a very important moment in my life too. I ran into that professor, you know, 10 years later, and he remembered me. And in that moment, he said, oh, well, how are you doing, Julie? And I sat there and it was kind of like a movie, right? All these things are flashing through my head, right? I'm like, you know, not even 30. And I had like 3 businesses at the time. I was a dean over a large university. I had published a book, all this stuff. And I remember I looked at him and I said, that's Dr. Julie Ducharme and I'm doing just fine. And I walked away because it wasn't trying to get revenge. It was this moment that I had that I was like, oh my gosh, I've always been smart enough. This is stupid. Like, I've always been smart enough. And so in that moment, I had to kind of realize that I let one comment for 10 years of someone who could care less about me while I was getting every award and success that you could think of. And so, you know, like you said, those moments of truth are so important. And I mean, a lot of my success, I contribute to my parents really being truthful and honest and tough on me and saying, you know what, get over it, suck it up.
That's so good. So good. I mean, obviously they're encouraging, right? Dad built a court, built a volleyball court, and do all these things to look, I'm gonna make it possible. I can't afford to pay for you to, you know, to go to school. But if you can earn it and you can work hard for it, it can happen for you. And here's a pathway to make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I love your dad when he sees the problem, right? You shared the problem with him. He says, "Well, why don't you solve that with your own business?"
Yeah.
and that kind of encouragement is very rare. Mm-hmm. Most, you know, our culture has elevated jobs and has elevated this so-called security net of having a job, you know, somebody else writing you a paycheck every week. And there's kind of two parts of that, right? People fall into a comfort zone with a job that, you know, they put in about 40% effort and they get a paycheck every week and it kind of works for them, right? Stay in our comfort zone. Yeah. But that entrepreneurial spirit really does require what mm-hmm. you've learned,
like yeah.
being able to ask, what's the worst that can happen? We'll be right back after this short break. Do you need an increase in revenue? We help business owners find $100K in 90 days and create a roadmap for implementation. There's no pressure, just a chance to get some assistance and clarity. Scheduling is easy. Simply visit ownitcall.com and select a time that works for you. It's time for you to focus on doubling the 20% that creates 80% of your revenue. Welcome back. Let's get back to more greatness.
Yeah.
And can I handle that?
Right.
And of course, we recognize, yep, I can handle the worst that can happen. Actually, for most people, that's the same worst that can happen if you lose your job. So mm-hmm. stepping into a business space, the worst that could happen is you lose everything. Well, you can lose everything in a job too.
Yeah.
Just to put that out there. But the reward factor for owning your own business and the impact you can make is so much greater. I mean, obviously at 23, you were employing multiple, probably 100 people, sounds like to me, as large as that company got. That's impacting 100 lives that you wouldn't have impacted, that wouldn't have had a job, wouldn't have had, you know, participation in those events and experiences.
Yeah.
That's a huge impact. And now you're doing incredible things for women. So share with me a little bit about what's led you to supporting and embracing women in this entrepreneurial space.
Yeah. Well, and I have to say that, you know, I worked in a lot of industries that were male dominated. And actually, I always give my male counterparts a lot of praise. They were the champions for me that helped move me up into these big positions because there weren't women there. And I desperately wanted a woman mentor. I was a college professor at the age of 23. I was very young. I'd come back from playing pro ball. I didn't want to be a professor, but I was good at it. And of course it was, I had a degree in communication and public speaking. And so I started doing that, and me being the overachiever I am, I moved up into those positions fast. I went to a chair and then a dean and then a president. And I remember that the office they gave me overlooked a beach volleyball court. So every day I was staring at my previous career going, what am I doing here? I don't even like this job. It's terrible. And because, you know, those higher level academic jobs are not fun. They're putting out fires and they're political. And I had a boss. I moved in this position. It was my first female boss. And I was so excited. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, like we're going to be best friends. We're going to be like sisters. This was like very naive of me. I was so excited. But remember, I was very young. And so she hired me, but she was probably the worst person I ever worked for in my entire life. And she was very, very hostile and vicious. And she would tell me every day that I was terrible and that she was going to fire me and just this long list of things. And 6 months into this job, my hair was falling out. I was seeing the doctor chronically for all sorts of issues. And my doctor said to me, you're going to have a heart attack before you're 30 because you're so unhealthy from this job. And I wasn't leaving my desk enough. So I had a vitamin D deficiency. I mean, I live in San Diego. I should not have a vitamin D deficiency. And so I finally decided to leave that job. And it was very tough because I thought, you know, everyone's going to think I'm a failure because I'd moved into this big position at a young age. I was like the youngest person in this whole, you know, giant organization taking this, you know, everyone was very impressed. And I was having really an identity crisis. I was like, what do I do? You know, I have two toddlers. I need to provide for my family. You know, people are going to think I'm a failure. But I finally decided like I had to do it. And when I left that job, I remember thinking, why as women are we attacking each other instead of working together? I see men help each other out all the time. They bring them in, they mentor each other, they're buddies, they get along. There's no drama. That's probably why I enjoyed working with the men so much. And I'm very much my personality from sports as well. It's like, hey, get the job done, you know. But I thought maybe we need to do something for women to realize that they don't have to climb the ladder by themselves. They don't have to step on each other's necks. And that if we actually work together, we might be more powerful than doing it by ourselves. And that's how She Talks came about. Our Lead Empower She Talks conference, I got together some close girlfriends. I said, listen, I just feel that if I give women a platform to tell their story, we may realize we're not that different. And so they said, okay, we'll help you. Sounds crazy. Women are super petty. They probably won't be interested in this at all, but we'll try it. So first time we did it, we had about 100 women show up. We didn't even have a big enough space. And it was really impactful and great. And women were like, God, this is great, you know? And so then we did it a second year and University of San Diego sponsored us. And we had 250 women show up. And we thought, I think we're onto something here because women were just saying, oh, this is impactful and I really needed this. So we started growing the conference and eventually we were doing 4 a year. And it's also a nonprofit give back. So we were inviting women, but we also give a portion of our tickets back to women veterans who are transitioning back to military life because we had a lot of women veterans pouring in. We had one of our women who helped me set this up was a woman veteran. And so it just started growing. And what we realized was that, you know, women were very alone out there and they felt that if they showed any vulnerability, that if they, you know, connected or with other women, that that would affect them as a leader. And so we decided that we wanted to stand in the gap and we wanted to debunk the theory that you had to climb to the top by yourself and really change that. And so I'm proud to say we've been going about 7.5 years and we've really made, I feel, an impact. We've had about, you know, 5,000 women participate in She Talks. It's getting very popular. I like to say we're giving TEDx a run for their money. Not that we're trying to compete with them, but we're just creating a platform that's really starting to reach a large amount of people. And then in the process of that, we've expanded our platform to have a She Talks magazine, which tells the story of women who may not be confident to get on the stage or aren't able to get on the stage. And that's happened this last year, which is hitting the reads on it are hitting thousands, which we're so excited about. And then recently we created a membership just to give women a safe place for women to come to network and be around each other, that are like-minded. And so it's my give back. It's so this isn't part of my five companies. This is an additional thing that I do. It's a give back. That's grown exponentially. And now I'm having to kind of like restructure the eco landscape and figure out how we grow because it's getting so big, but I think it's a good problem to have. And so, I have a daughter who's 15 now, but when I had my daughter, this was the other part of the motivation. You know, she was 2 when I was in this really toxic job. And I thought, I don't want her to have to have this. There's got to be something better. You know, if we can create a network of women who truly believe in supporting and growing each other, then that's going to make a better world for my daughter when she gets to that time. And so that was another motivation of mine. And she's now actually, she at 13 did her first She Talk. She's the youngest She Talker out there. She had really wanted to speak about the anxiety that, you know, young girls have in middle school. So she did that. And then that led to her having an opportunity to do a TEDx, which was really awesome. So she did a TEDx at 14 and then she published her first book as well. And so part of all of this is to motivate our young women and older women that this is the time, you know, to make connections, to support each other. And that's part of the network too, is we write books together, we do podcasts, we start businesses together, and it's a safe group of women as well. So that's been kind of the evolution of She Talks and what it is and why I give back, and it's my passion. And I'm sure it's going to overtake a lot more of my life, and that's okay too.
Well, but obviously even in a give back like that, you're creating relationships that are going to impact your business and the positive of that. But it's for people listening, understanding how these expectations and limiting beliefs play in our head. Yeah. And I'm sure that even that boss was based on some limiting belief that she was fighting within herself, that you were a threat.
Absolutely.
Because of all that you've done. And I think so often, because like you mentioned, that women feel alone. They feel like they can't show vulnerability. They can't show weakness because that person below them or next to them is just going to take everything from them. That this is a tough space to open up and create safety.
Yeah. And I'm one of them. You know, I played sports for years. There's no crying in sports. Like my emotional intelligence needed a lot of work as a leader. I was like, suck it up, get over it, you know? And so I too had to really understand how I could be a leader and still be vulnerable and still be successful. And so that was a struggle for me. And like I said, I worked in a very male dominated environment and men are just less emotional than women. And so I adapted to that because I felt that it was how I had to present myself. Now, the book I wrote, Authentically You, Empowering Your Way to Success, is about my kind of journey and transformation from being the woman with a bun in her hair and a black suit to the woman on stage wearing a tutu in all pink speaking, right? It's kind of my transformation of this identity crisis and realizing that I could be me and be a good leader and still express myself and not worry about people thinking I'm weak just because I'm wearing a purple jacket. But I think that's an identity crisis that many women face when they're entering into tough industries is I have to be the same as my male counterparts in order to make effect or be a leader. But really, if they can embrace their authentic leadership, they will get more success in the end because you will create more trust, more loyalty. You know, people will like you better because, and I have to say, being not you is exhausting.
Oh, that's such a great line. It's exhausting. My goodness.
So, I mean, it is, you know, going to work and being someone else and not really being true to who I am. I'm the type of leader, I love to have fun. I love to laugh. I run at a really fast pace. So people have to run fast with me. You know, quality is very important to me. And I'm a visionary. So half the time I'm going to throw out some real crazy stuff and see if you can make it for me, you know, but I found my people right? So I found the people who love to work with me on that level, you know, and adaptability, right? Like we have to be adaptable. And so, I mean, those are just some of the epiphanies I had. Now I've been a real like straight entrepreneur for about 15 years. I think I've been an entrepreneur my entire life, but for the last 15 years, really heavy into building and growing my companies on that. But I think that's probably one of the most important things is as an entrepreneur, you have to be able to embrace you and what it is that you want, right? Because we can't run a business if we don't have a passion for it. And I think every entrepreneur has a passion for what they do. You know, that whole, it's not personal, it's just business. That's just total BS.
There you go.
It's absolutely personal. It's our livelihood. It's what we love to do. We pour our hearts into it and hours, right? So I just think that it's so important that we find who we are and what we love to do and the passion to do that, because that's going to really add to the success of the business.
Oh, it's so valuable for both men and women, right? Mm-hmm. Is be uniquely you.
Absolutely.
Be yourself in the marketplace and then find your people, find the people that you were created to serve and solving the problem you were created to solve. Because those ideas aren't going to come to you unless they're in alignment with your passion. And there are so many people living out of alignment and their passion and their purpose and what they're actually accomplishing is different. And you mentioned it, being not you is exhausting. So stop doing it.
Yeah.
Find your pathway and be authentically you, because that sets you up to be that difference in the marketplace, right? The marketplace is so full of all these copycats and people that are all just doing the same things and offering the same services. Yeah. And when you come out of your shell and you can say, this is who I am, this is who I serve, those people are going to find you and they're going to be so happy because they've been looking for you and you've been hiding under some other mask.
Yeah.
Pretending to be somebody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And I see that a lot. You know, I think COVID was really impactful in that some people lost their jobs of 20 years and were forced to pivot. And suddenly they actually started creating businesses and the things that they had always wanted to do, but maybe didn't have the capability or the knowledge, or even they were too fearful. And I see today a lot of people who are now pivoting in their life, right? And they come and they say, I am not happy. And they tell me about their work and it's like the worst environment I've ever heard of. And I go, so how long have you been working there? Oh, 10 years. And you're like, what? For 10 years, you've been allowing yourself to be abused when you're a really talented, creative individual. But something I found a long time ago, I used to take in single mothers who were in need. And we would help them get back on their feet. And so we would help them get into school and get a car and get a job. And I had this one young woman who we helped out, and she was brilliant. She was really brilliant, super smart. And so we helped her get all this stuff. We got her set up, and we'd gotten her out of a bad situation where she was being physically abused by a boyfriend, and she had a young baby. And, you know, she got a car, she was in school, we got her apartment, she was doing great. And I was super proud of her. And I just thought like, oh, you know, she's going to do great. I find out not too long after that she gave all of that up and moved back in with a boyfriend. And I was so disappointed. And I thought, gosh, we gave her everything she needed to be successful. Why wouldn't she do it? And then I realized we gave her everything she needed to be successful. So I realized that you can give everything to anyone, but if they're not willing to open the door and walk through that door, then it's never going to move forward. And so in that instance, she was too fearful, despite having all the sex waiting for her just one step through that door. That's all she had to do. She didn't take it. She closed it and walked back to a life that was so toxic for her. And I find that people will do that in organizations. They will be abused for years because the fear is so big that they're not willing to walk away. So they'd rather be mentally abused and live in a toxic environment and hate their life versus taking the step through the door.
Well, and so many leaders in those toxic environments, to be fair, are planting those seeds of, you can't do it without me. You're worthless without me. And that those lies and the fear of the truth is so overwhelming. Yeah. I've seen it in the same space, in the same, I like that same conversation, I recognize the conversation, and the person knows that they're being abused and they know that this person is evil. And yet they have a list of excuses for why they're staying. Like everything in your entrepreneurial spirit and your human spirit just says, walk away. What's the worst that can happen?
Right, right. It's so true. And I notice with women too, women are very loyal and they're problem solvers. So they try and stick it out longer because they think I can solve this problem. I can do it, you know? And I have conversations with women and I say, okay, let's like go through this list, right? You know, I'll go through this list of just kind of letting them have the epiphany of like, oh, but I remember when I walked away from my job and I'm very sensitive to this, it was terrifying. I was like, I have to provide for my family. I have two toddlers. I have a mortgage. I have a car payment. I need to feed them, right? I've got to pay for diapers, you know? And it was really terrifying. I mean, I was able to make the move one because I have an incredibly supportive husband who was like, listen, I don't care what you do as long as we can make money to survive. You know, when I talked to him about leaving my very well-paying job, I was okay. All right. Well, and then I had one woman mentor who had stepped into my life. And she said, Julie, you've had all these little businesses on the side, stop playing with them and actually go make some money with them. And I was like, oh, you think I can make money? And she was like, yes, you can make money. You know, it was a real epiphany. Cause I was just doing them on the side. It was like a little extra money to cover this or this. I never thought about like that I could jump in and go make a 6-figure, 7-figure, 8-figure business. That wasn't in my mindset. And so by her saying like, listen, it, you know, going back to that, it can't be worse than me losing a national title or this, right? And I had the grit and the courage and I didn't have all the knowledge. I was just willing to research and find out about it. But I'm very sensitive to that when I talk to people about pivoting into a new position in their life, I'm like, listen, been there, done that, terrified. And I did it in a very vulnerable moment of my life. I think I was only 8 weeks out from having my second child, you know, at 8 weeks out, I'd had a C-section, like wasn't ready for anything, but I knew that I needed to do that. So I really am sensitive to that fact. And also I had this woman who was my mentor. She said, listen, I'll give you work up until almost full time so you can do the whole side gig, right? Work here, make some money while you're building your business. So I did have that. And I always tell people, have a plan. Don't just bail. You know, don't put yourself in a situation for that, but have a plan. But yeah, it's really interesting. I think the economy is really shifting. You know, small to medium businesses are coming up to somewhere around 70% of our economy. And people are opening more and more businesses daily because of, you know, our technology. So I really see a shift. And I think these large companies, which are only 10% of our economy, are going to start to really have to rely on the medium to small businesses to supply them in order to stay competitive.
Yeah, I agree. Julie, this has been fantastic. We end every episode with our guests sharing their words of wisdom. So for those entrepreneurs or those people longing to be entrepreneurs, what would you share?
Yeah, great question. I mean, if you have a passion and you have a belief in something and that passion and belief can be turned into a business, then I think you should explore it. There may be some fear along the way, but as my motto is, what's the worst thing that happens is you fail and then you get up and you try it again. So if you really have that passion, you've been feeling like you're not fulfilling it, I would say dip the toe in the pond, test it out and see where it goes.
Fantastic. Dr. Julie, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been a great conversation, and I know that our guests have benefited from your wisdom.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for tuning into this episode, brought to you by the power of intentional decisions that lead to massive action. These aren't just buzzwords. They're qualities that can help you take control of your life and build a successful 6- or 7-figure business. To support you on this journey, we're offering one of our most popular books, Fish Out, Leads In, 52 Fresh Ideas for Lead Generation. You can download it free at enjoybizlife.com. And if you enjoyed this episode, please show us some love by liking, subscribing, and leaving a review. But most importantly, share it with someone who needs to hear it. In our next episode, Kevin Lisitsyn and Robert talk about impacting a community through connection. Kevin and his wife connect with foster children to help them with a foundation of love. Kevin connects with inmates, giving them hope and sharing life principles. He desires to leave a legacy of love by touching lives with hope.